encourage you. He gave the mic to everybody and anybody. That's why we've had things at the park or we've been outreaching, and sometimes people are like, hey, Pastor, this guy's by there. Like, just come. Come. Here's the mic. Just convince us.
What?
Convince us. Convince everybody. Talk to everybody here that there's no God. Just go ahead. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's faith. Oh, you won't. But you got to stick around for what I'm going to say. So they don't know. But here's the thing. As I spoke to this person, are we ready? I spoke to a person who didn't know who Charlie Kirk was and posted something online. I introduced him to Charlie Kirk, and now he agrees with him. Not his theology, maybe, everything, but he agrees with him about free speech. And hopefully I'll get him on the other things. Stop reading what other people are saying about Charlie Kirk. Stop, Christians, stop reading what other people are saying about Jesus. Just read his words. And I got this person to just go back to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Just get the red letter edition. Just read the words of Jesus. But here's the thing. It blew me away that this person didn't know who Charlie Kirk was. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know everything in the world. I watch opposing views and sides. I want to know the world that I'm engaged in, what they're thinking and what they're doing. So I watch some pretty vile stuff so I can engage this culture, so I can win some for Christ. But to show up to a debate and you have no clue what the other side is like, and that's really what happens. People show up to debate Charlie Kirk and they're debating something someone else said. He goes, I never said that. Find a place that I said that. Here's an example. Go ahead, Caleb.
Charlie for 13 years, and when he was a kid, he was like an 18-year-old kid when I first met Charlie in the Breakers in Palm Beach, and he was fundraising, running around, and I watched him, you know, grow into a man and watch him, you know, get married and have a couple of very young kids. And, you know, whatever you thought of Charlie's views is irrelevant. The fact is that what he made his living doing and what he actually did quite well, made himself really good at this, was just going and talking to people on the other side. And that's, you know, what he was killed doing. He was literally in the middle of answering a question and picked up the microphone and was shot in the throat. And we do have a serious problem in this country with people who believe that violence is the proper response to speech. And that does skew young. I mean, what the polls tend to show is that of Gen Z, only 58% of Gen Z believes that there is no excuse for violence in response to speech, meaning that 42% believe that there are some times that violence ought to be a response to speech, which is deeply terrifying. I mean, on a personal level, obviously, I have 24/7 security. I've had 24/7 security for a decade. I've spoken at a lot of college campuses. I never, honest to God, thought that we were going to get to this point. Even the assassination of political figures is not the same thing as just being shot in the throat for the crime of debating issues in the public square. I thought wrong. Yeah, you know, I thought that's not what America is or what it should be about. And we've come to someplace incredibly dark in our nation's history. And, you know, I weep for the country. I weep for Charlie. It's terrific.
This is a secular show I watch. I listen to the other commentators. I do those things. That's a secular show. I was gobsmacked when this person did not know who Charlie Kirk was. And they do now. And they're like, wow, I really agree with this guy. But I know the word. How do you not know who Charlie Kirk is? So in other words, verse 18, they delivered him up, Jesus, out of envy. It's never going to change. Verse 40 of Matthew chapter 27, 40, 41, 42, they let this narrative. But we saw in verse 63 of Matthew 27, the religious elite, they knew what Jesus was talking about. But they let the other narrative out there because they wanted to destroy Jesus. And so, as I was picked up from the airport last night at 1 in the morning, I said, do we have to sneak back home? Has St. Paul burnt down? Because I remember what happened with riots a few years ago and burning up all of the businesses in University Avenue because of words and because of some people's actions and because of a narrative that was out there. No one died. No property was destroyed. No groups of people went out and threatened another crowd. I'm not putting up with this, folks. When people say, hey, we got to come together, we're not together. It's the narrative's only coming one way. You are of your father, the devil. John chapter 8, verses 44. You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning, and you speak his native tongue. That's actually the words of Jesus as he was saying to the religious elite who knew that he was talking about his body, not the actual physical temple. You say you want to be like Jesus? Talk like him. I want to see this generation come to know Jesus Christ and Savior Lord, and they're only going to know it if you and I give them the words of Jesus. And I know what's going on and around me, and that's what I want to engage them with that. But how to biblically approach this assassination? Why don't we let Charlie tell us? Let's use his words.
I mean, if I die, everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
I don't know if you know this, but everyone dies. It's important to remind yourself of that. That you faced God, the judge, and he's going to list everything you did wrong in your life. It's going to be a long sentencing hearing for me. Will you get justice, which is hell, because that's what we deserve. Mercy, which is less of that, which I'll allow the theologians to figure out what that is. Or grace. What is grace? Grace is something so unique, so different, so profound. Which is, as soon as the sentencing's about to be ushered in, someone comes in and says, no, I will serve that prison sentence for him. I will go into the prison cell for him or her so that they can live forever. That's grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't check boxes for it. You didn't go park cars for a ministry and that gets you extra points to go to heaven. None of that's true. It's that it's equally accepted for all people that allow Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Savior of the world, to be born new and to be completely and totally renewed. That's a gift that we must try to give all people in the world.
I mean, I've had an unbelievably blessed life. Been doing this now, it'll be 12 years on June 5th.
Such a young man to
I
do
know,
it.
So young.
Yeah, so praise God. I mean, I've been all across the world. I've met with world leaders. I've flown in Air Force One, got to know a president. I have an amazing family, podcast, Turning Point USA, all that stuff. And so you experience that and you're like, what actually matters? What matters is your relationship with the divine, your relationship with your family, your kids, and maybe a close collection of friends, and your relationship with the truth. And you could decide to lie all the time, then you become a tortured individual. And you know those people, you just turn on television, they're constantly lying and they just become like disfigured either emotionally, spiritually, or physically. Because when you lie, I believe you're actually committing suicide of the soul. I really believe that.
Are you a Christian, by any chance?
Very, very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner, gave my life to Christ, most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, like, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I could give you the technical answer. There's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There is not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life does not improve dramatically. And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live.
And for those of you that have not given your life to Christ, I could tell you it is the most freeing, liberating thing that a human being can possibly do. The most important thing that you can do, which is to be born new into the kingdom of God.
Well, it tells us in the Bible, the servant of the Lord must not strive, must have patience. Oh man, Charlie's a better man than me. And he's even way better than me now. But I'll have to catch up to him later. But that's what I want to do next week, honor them. But this week, it's your generation. Go lead people to Jesus and bring them here. And stop playing around. Time and effort and energy has been invested and poured into your lives. Healthy sheep reproduce healthy sheep. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. There's just spiritual moms and dads and there's kids. That's it. And there's no retirement. Heaven's my retirement. That's it. I'll get my rest when I get there. And I would encourage you, the 22nd, Monday the 22nd, try to be at the University of Minnesota. Go online, go to Turning Point USA, register so they know you're coming, and be there and see what happens. And it might not be a debate, but it just might be what's happening and what I'm watching is there might be worship and prayer going on, and maybe later that night. And there probably will be some people there who are agitators, and they just don't know. They're showing up because they've heard what others have said. I don't want to be one that people turn away from God because of the way that my life was. And that's it. You can talk to my kids. It's an important question I ask them all the time. I look at my wife. Are you proud of me? Yes, that's all I want to hear. I don't want to see the disappointment in the eyes. I don't ask them the question, are you happy with everything I've ever chosen and done in your life? No, I'm not going to ask them that question. Right? Now they're parents of their own. They can do it right and they can, you know, show me how it's supposed to have been done. But I want to be known for my faith and my courage, my walk with Jesus. And I desire for people to have a walk as equal or greater than mine, not less. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life. I do pray for Erica and the kids, and I do pray for this whole week coming up to this memorial, that many more come to know you and Savior, Lord. I pray this place would be filled, if it be here at the coffee house by 1 p.m., that we could see a celebration of life, and that, God, that you're renewing people's faith, and they would come back to you, that there's not much time left. And so, Lord Jesus, you said this would happen, and it's happening now. So, Lord Jesus, may we just be those true and faithful witnesses, those martyrs. You're the Savior. We're the witnesses. So we just praise you and thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen.